In case you didn't know, I'm Dylan Laporte, and this is the 11th Thursday Afternoon Games Chat. Each and every week on Thursday at 12 p.m. Eastern Time, a new podcast is released on Spotify, iTunes, and other podcasting services talking about the games I play, a little history on them, maybe a review, but ultimately to check up on you guys. Are you well? Good. If you're not interested in the audio and want something more, a week later, the podcast is uploaded to YouTube with video, of course, and the question of the day and the show's time codes in the comments below as well. You can find the MP4 on YouTube at youtube.com/Dylan Lepore and find the MP3 on Anchor at anchor.fm/MMPP. And as always, feel free to visit my main site, DylanLepore.com, for blog posts, updates, articles I've written, and much more. So without further ado, let's get this show started.
Lead the way. Get your rock off my map.
This is amazing!
Let's do this.
Hey guys, it is finally Thursday, and here we are talking about the Thursday Afternoon Games Chat. And today, as you saw from the title of the podcast and the YouTube video, today we're talking about BioShock. And yeah, I am very, very much excited about this. But for now, I'm just here to check up on you guys. Say hey, hope your week is going well, and I hope you're striving and doing your best at whatever you may do. And I really appreciate you listening to me this Thursday and liking this review. I hope you like the review, and I hope you have a great time and get some laughs or get some knowledge thrown at you, you know. But so far for me, I've been writing more. I got a new blog post open. I have a new blog post up and running on the website. It's on Medium right now, medium.com. You can just go to my website and figure that out, how to get there. Yesterday was Student Press Freedom Day from the Student Press Law Center, January 29th. And it's just to celebrate student press freedoms and advocate for student press freedoms. And I wrote a letter from the editor in the Tartan newspaper. And so you guys can check that out as well if you'd like. But it's just something that's important and needs to be talked about. And so, yeah, student press freedoms. And then I've been looking for jobs. I have a year left of school, actually 10 months left of college, which is crazy. I have 10 months left of college, and I'm looking for jobs, trying to get everything situated, trying to prepare since this is my last year at school. And so I'm trying to do my best to put my best foot forward and trying to get as many clients or networking with people and trying to see where I can go or what I can do and stuff like that. And so if you guys have anybody that you might think would be a good fit for me or something like that, please reach out. I mean, I'd love to talk to you about it, talk to somebody about it. But I mean, it's exciting times. And then I'm waiting for snow. I need snow. It hasn't snowed in Virginia, in an area I've been. It snowed here at Radford when I was on winter break, and that was very disappointing. It snowed a few times when I was off in winter break, but it snowed here at Radford, and I was so upset. I saw the pictures, and I was just like, come on. Really. It hasn't snowed yet, and I need snow. There might be snow coming soon, but I just need snow once. I mean, I need snow once, please. So, without further ado, let's get into BioShock. So, for the overview first, BioShock is set in 1960 in the underworld. Let me go back. BioShock is set in 1960 in the underwater city of Rapture. The city's history is mostly revealed via audio recordings the player can collect during the game. Rapture was planned and constructed in the 1940s by objectivist business man Andrew Ryan, who wanted to create a utopia for society's elite to flourish outside of government control and petty morality. scientific progress greatly expanded, including the discovery of the genetic material atom created by sea slugs on the ocean floor. Atom allows its users to alter their DNA to grant them superhuman powers like telekinetics and pyronetics to protect Rapture. Ryan imposed a law that no contact with the surface world was allowed. Despite the apparent utopia, class distinctions grew, and former gangster and businessman Frank Fontaine used his influence over the lower class to plan a cope over Rapture. Fontaine profited by creating black market routes with the surface world, and together with Dr. Bridge Tannenbaum, created a cheap plasma industry by mass producing Adam through the implantation of the slugs in the stomachs of orphaned girls, nicknamed Little Sisters. Fontaine used his plasma-enhanced army to attack Ryan, but reportedly was killed in the battle. Ryan took the opportunity to seize his assets, including the plasma factories. In the months that followed, a second figure named Atlas rose to speak for the lower class, creating further strife. Atlas led attacks on the factories housing the little girls, and Ryan countered by creating Big Daddies, plasma-enhanced humans surgically grafted into giant Lombarding diving suits, who were psychologically compelled to protect the little girls at all costs. Ryan also created his army by an army of plasma-enhanced soldiers named Splicers, which controlled using pheromones disrupted through the Rapture's air systems. Tension came to a head on New Year's Eve of 1958, when Atlas ordered an all-out attack on Ryan. The battle left many dead, and a few sane survivors barricaded themselves away. What once was a beautiful utopia had fallen into a crumbling dystopia. Yeah, pretty big stuff. So, this is going to be a spoiler review because the game's been out for years. I believe the game released 2007. So we're going to 2008. Yeah, 2007. Yeah, the game released in 2007. And so we're going to spoil this. So, would you kindly listen to the sound of my voice as I speak into the microphone. but I could talk about this game literally for hours because I'm just so invested in the story and the content and its characters through audio logs. There's hours of YouTube videos and YouTube videos just playing different types of voice logs in the game. And it just goes on and on and on, and learning about Frank Fontaine, and who is Frank Fontaine? Oh, it's Atlas. Atlas is Frank Fontaine. Oh, put those two together, and then the ending. The game really, BioShock for me definitely seemed like two games, because when you get to the middle of the game that the game has that twist. Oh, would you kindly? And then, would you kindly kill me with a freaking golf club, Andrew Ryan. I was like questioning, like, why did Andrew Ryan want to kill himself? And I was like, why did he allow you, the protagonist, to kill him? He's like, would you kindly kill me? And I was like, I don't want to kill him. I was like, why? He was like, because he doesn't want to be a slave to the system. He wants to die on his own terms, and he decided, he was like, there's no turning back, and I'm not going to kill myself, so, and I'm not going back to the, he doesn't want to go back to the surface and live the controlling government life that he talks about, and that's why he created Rapture in the first place, to separate everybody from that. But again, he forgot, because everybody's rich, who's going to take out the trash? Who's going to mop the place? Somebody has to mop the place. And so there was class distinctions. And everything just spiraled out of there. And then their finally rise Atlas's final rise in New Year's Eve 1958. And the game is just beautiful from the opening to the end, and meeting all these different characters, and they're just like how Adam changed them and how it affected their minds and just how crazy this world got after New Year's Eve. And going into the, if you played Bioshock Infinite, going into the Burial at Sea DLC from Bioshock Infinite, it goes more in depth than that, because what's so cool about the Burial at Sea is that it really connects all the games together in a very awesome way that is super, super interesting. But we're not going to talk about Bioshock Infinite right now. But Bioshock, with its little sisters and its big daddy and its mechanics, and how it was such a landmark game back in 2007, it really impressed me, and just really like changed the way that I see or play games, really, because how beautiful it is, and the work the lead designer, lead developer Kevin Ken Levine did in the game. It was impressive and massive and just insane, really. It's a beautiful game from the opening to the different plot points to just the regular gunplay. And let's just get into that type of game design. Bioshock is a first-person shooter with role-playing game customization and stealth elements, and is similar to System Shock 2. The player takes the role of Jack as he is guided through Rapture towards various objectives. The player collects multiple weapons and plasmids as they work their way through enemy forces. The player can switch between one active weapon and one active plasma at any time, allowing them to find combination attacks that can be effective against certain enemies, such as first shocking a splicer, then striking them down with a wrench. Weapons are limited by ammunition that the player collects. Many weapons have secondary ammo types that can be used instead for additional benefits, such as bullets that inflict fire damage. Plasmids use these type of consumable called Eve, which can be restored using Eve syringes collected by the player. The player has a health meter that decreases when they take damage. The player can restore their health with medical patches found throughout Rapture. If the player's health reduces to zero, they will be regenerated at the last Vita chamber they passed with limited amounts of health and Eve. A patch for the game allows people to disable this, and you can even get a trophy for it as well. But what's cool about Jack's character is that in the game, and if you're following the story, Jack is actually Andrew Ryan's son, which is crazy. And we don't learn that until a while, and especially if you're listening to the audio recordings, you pick up on things and start connecting things. Because that's why that's why the security doesn't really detect Jack, and Jack can move through Vita chambers just like Andrew Ryan can, but other people can't move through Vita chambers. Once they're dead, they're dead. And Jack, he made his son, Andrew made his son kill him. And another thing is that Atlas hijacked Jack, and they did this brainwashing process on him, and that made him the killing machine. What's the activation codes from the Bureau? Well, let's see. What's the activation codes? Oh, would you kindly? And would you kindly get up? Would you kindly pick up the thing? And I'm trying to help you. And Atlas is, oh, I gotta save my kids. I gotta save my kids. And it's all just a sham. There was no kids. There was no wife. There was all just trying to pull the strings of Jack or you, the protagonist, and try to put you in this image, in this bubble. And you were just like, okay, I'll do whatever you say. All right. And it's impressive storytelling, and the game still stands today. While I had to adjust my controls, because I played this on the PS3, I had to adjust my controls or just how I played the game, because I've been playing a lot of older games now, and so I'm getting used to that rhythm again of how old games work on the PS3, especially because a lot of them were built for Xbox 360. A lot of these, and now that I think of it, a lot of these games were built for Xbox 360 controls because of their triggers and how much better they were. And not the PS3's triggers on the back were not the greatest. And I hate that they're concaved or convect. I think that's convect. I think that's it. Or just rounded. Coming to the bottom instead of curving out like the Xbox. I'm so glad they changed that with the PS4. It's just getting used to controls. But this game and lead development developer Ken Levine did a fantastic job. And one reason that he didn't come back to these games, especially after making BioShock Infinite, is because he was just like, I can't do anything else. Like, coming as, like, he did so much and told, like, his perfect story. One of the reasons why he didn't make another game from Rapture after BioShock 2, he was like, that's it. That's all I gotta say about Rapture. That's all I gotta say about Rapture. I'm done talking about Rapture. And then he created In the Skies. And so after you go in the ocean and the skies, where else can you go? That's, like, crazy BioShock like and he was just like, after BioShock, he was just like, I'm done. And the studio closed, and people had to find jobs elsewhere, and that is disappointing. He got in the business to be a creator, and I support him in that way, but I don't think firing everybody and closing the business was the best idea or the best move. But I appreciate his creative vision and his, how he's sticking to, like, this is what I sought out to create. I wanted to create it, and that's it. And I hope people enjoy my experience, because I put my heart and soul into it, and I have nothing else to say after he did it, because there's so much in the game. It's a first-person shooter with so much in it, and it boggles my mind. And it's a crazy insane game that is freaking awesome, and it will have your mind in circles, especially if you are like me and love to learn more about the lore and the story. I've been reading and watching YouTube videos constantly about it, and I had to stop because I'm just like, oh my god. And especially if you're listening to the audio logs and how those miniature stories connect and how they are affecting the people of Rapture. It just goes throughout the whole BioShock franchise, and it's super crazy. And they, by the way, they're even though Ken Levine is not working on it, they're thinking, or I read news about them possibly making a new BioShock game, which is crazy. I wouldn't, hopefully whatever it is, hopefully it's really good. I don't know, I don't know if they can make it as good as with Ken Levine, but we'll see. So the critical response for this game was, what do you think the critical response was? BioShock has received critical acclaim. Mainstream press reviews have praised the immersive qualities of the game and its political dimensions. The Boston Globe described it as a beautiful, brutal, and disquieting computer game, one of the best in years, and compared the game to the Whitaker Chambers, 1957, Ripstow to Atlas Shrugged, Big Sister is Watching You. Wired also mentioned that Ayn Rand, Wired also mentioned the Ayn Rand connection, a partial anagram of Andrew Ryan. Ayn Rand, Andrew Ryan, I forgot to mention that. Yeah, that's where the character Andrew Ryan comes from. And a lot of the Bioshock is based off of the Ayn Rand books and just how that, like, dystopia and that world they live in, where they're removed from government and they create their own area where they live. And like I said, like, everybody's rich, so who's going to wash the dishes, you know? Everybody's rich. I'm rich. I pay somebody to wash the dishes. But if everybody's rich, who – nobody wants to – you know, nobody wants to do the dishes because they can keep paying anybody. But nobody wants to be paid because they're all rich. In a report on the game, which featured a brief interview with Ken Levine, the Chicago Sun's Chicago Sun-Times review said, "I never once thought anyone would be able to create an engaging and entertaining video game around the fiction and philosophy of Ayn Rand, but that is essentially what 2K's games has done. The rare, mature video game that succeeds in making you think while you play." And sales for the game, the Xbox 360 version of the third best-selling game of August 2007, with 497,900 copies sold. The Wall Street Journal reported the shares in Take-Two Interactive soared nearly 20%, and the week followed overwhelmingly favorable early reviews of the game. Take-Two Interactive announced that by June 5th, 2008, over 2.2 million copies of Bioshock had been shipped. In a June 10th, 2008 interview, Ron Taylor, NVIDIA's VP of Content Business Development, stated that the PC version has sold over 1 million copies. According to Take-Two Interactive's chairman, Staris Zelnick, the game had sold around 3 million copies by June 2009. By March 2010, Bioshock has sold 4 million copies. Insane. So if you haven't picked up your copy yet, please do so. I think I bought mine for like $8 and some change at Second and Charles. But my score for the game is nothing less than a 10 out of 10. This game is a masterpiece and must be played. And it must be, even though if you never played the game and you're watching this spoiler review, I am so sorry that you did. You're watching this. I thank you for watching my review and listening to me. But if you didn't play the game, I gave a spoiler review. If you didn't play the game, I'm disappointed that you continued watching this, because it's not just a game you need to hear about and me talk about. It's a game you honestly need to take the time and play. And even if you're not into the lore that much, or going and getting audio logs and stuff like that and just exploring the area, the story, just the basic story by itself is just a ride on itself, and it must be experienced. So that's why I give it a 10 out of 10, a masterpiece, because it is a masterpiece, a game that makes you think while you play. And more games are adopting this. Similar games like the first Dishonored and even Dishonored 2 are great games, and even Half-Life and System Shock, what they were talking about. I've never played System Shock. Ken Levine worked on the System Shock games, and System Shock didn't sell well. While people loved it, it didn't really sell well. And so they were like, we don't want another System Shock game. So what Ken Levine did was basically he repackaged System Shock into BioShock and made it its own thing. And they were like, wow, this is awesome. He was like, yeah, I bet it is. It's the same game. It's the same franchise you guys didn't want me to create. I told you I'd get one right. And even the main weapon in the game, the first weapon you get in System Shock is a wrench. And that's what you get in BioShock. Your first weapon is a wrench, and that's what I love about these games. They have so much story behind them, and you can read so much online. But if you haven't played the game, I highly recommend picking up the game because I love it, and most likely you'll love it if you love listening to the Thursday afternoon games chat and love hanging out with me and watching and playing these old games, because I love reviewing these games, because and now setting is so far in the future now, in 2020, thinking about this game came out 17 years ago, man. 17 years ago. Not 17 years ago. Yeah, 13 years ago. Wow. Yeah, 14, 13 years ago. Oh my God. That's crazy. That is crazy. But I like going back and reviewing these old games, because, there's so much to talk about, and so much, that I haven't talked about and want to talk about, and more games will come. I don't know what I'm reviewing, next week, but I played a whole, like I said in the Monday When I Played Your Podcast, I played a whole bunch of games over winter break, so I got a back catalog to choose from. So I hope you guys keep listening. So in case you didn't know, I'm Dylan Laporte, and this is the 11th Thursday Afternoon Games Chat. Each and every week on Thursday at 12 p.m. Eastern Time, a new podcast is released on Spotify, iTunes, and other podcasting services talking about the games I play, a little history on them, maybe a review, but ultimately to check up on you guys. If you're not interested in the audio and want something more, a week later, the podcast is uploaded to YouTube with video, of course. You can find the MP4 on YouTube at youtube.com/DylanLaporte and find the MP3 on Anchor at anchor.fm/MMPP. And as always, feel free to visit my main site, DylanLaporte.com, for blog posts, updates, articles I've written, and much more. Thanks for listening to my podcast, and feel free to chat with me on Twitter at Dylan's Legos about your favorite games or about your favorite moments on BioShock. I love to hear it, and I'll talk to you guys on Monday. See you.
Lead the way. Get your rock off my map.
This is amazing. Let's do this.